Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. behind the mic. I am joined by Seth Habhager.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We hope you're doing good. We love our 9 o'clock hour. Get in some entertainment in a little bit. Then we write stories, good stories of the day. But on Thursdays, you know how we kick things off with our Pet of the Week from the Southwick County Humane Society. Executive Director over there, Madison Rafter, joining us on the phone right now. Madison, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
We're doing good over here. We appreciate the time as always. Know how busy you are. I know you're bopping around right now and taking care of some things. So appreciate the work that you do, Madison.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Madison, when you are on the phone, though, I don't like to keep you too long. How are things going over at the shop? You got some construction things going on over there?
Yeah, we've got some construction going on with our dog room. We are almost hopefully supposed to be finalized by the end of February, so we're hoping that goes well, and we can continue to start doing walkthroughs with our dog room, as well as allowing the public to be able to see all of our dogs.
Oh, that's so cool. Very exciting.
Getting close.
I've been asked by our listeners if I could do a tour once it's open.
Ooh.
And maybe do that on the air or something and tour it. Maybe we might have to talk about that, Madison. So you might have to put up with me.
Absolutely.
Madison, who is our furry pet of the week?
Our furry pet of the week is actually going to be a group of puppies. It is going to be Millie, Miles, and Mason. This group, a trio, joined us up from Texas for our puppy yoga for this upcoming Sunday. These kiddos are about 4 months old. I could not tell you what kind of mutt mixes they are. All I know is that they are short, fat, and chubby, and I absolutely adore them.
Yeah. How could you not? Oh, they're adorable. They're awesome.
I'm not sure where the short legs could come from. It could be some sort of dash hound or corgi mix or something like that, but I swear they just have these shortest little legs alive, and they're just absolutely adorable.
They got a beautiful brindle type coat too. Is that what I'm seeing, Madison?
Yeah, so I believe it's Millie and Miles are the two that have the brindley color, and then Mason is just more of a tan brown.
Madison, with their age, is there a certain type of family that would be a really good fit for them, or just about any family?
Yeah, so with these puppies, they actually tend to be a little bit more on the shyer side. They were found as strays down in Texas, and actually one of our other dogs that we have here, LeBeau, was actually their foster dad to help them build their confidence in a foster home down in Texas. So the puppies are doing fantastic in the aspect of socialization, but they are still timid and fearful of new people. So with that situation, we are looking for families that definitely have another confident dog in the home or have the time and willing to be able to allow these puppies to kind of chill out and gain their trust and kind of situations like that. They definitely can be scared of very fast movements, things like that, and they're just kind of shy and shut down. So working with a family that wants to have the ability to work with a shy puppy that's a shut down that can help them blossom in a home environment is really going to be beneficial for them.
Things worth having never come easy. You know, you got to put a little work into it, a little elbow grease, a little bit, and something like this is so worth adapting and working with. And such a great animals, great dogs. These look like amazing animals. Madison, do they have their shots, all the their chip and everything?
Yep, they do have all of their vaccines of distemper, bordetella, and rabies. They are up to date on those vaccines. They are microchipped. They are already 6, and they are ready to go.
Cannot wait to help find them a great forever home. Madison, as we're wrapping up, anything that you guys are in need of over there, anything we can help out with in particular?
Yeah, so donation-wise, we're always in need of 30-gallon garbage bags, hot dogs right now for some of our dogs, especially some of our puppies, to work on some socialization factors, cat litter with our hoarding case that we just recently had. So any donations, we are more than willing to take them. Just another note, we do have a couple events coming up this weekend. Tonight, iHeart Studios is actually doing a Draw Your Own Pet watercolor event. The registration is open until 3 o'clock today for that. They pretty much, you can send a picture over to them with a $40 donation. They will sketch up your pet, and then tonight from 6 to 8, you are able to watercolor your own pet. And then we also have our snowblast event this weekend with Lake Arrowhead. On Sunday at 9 a.m., the puppies will actually be joining for yoga. So that's where they will be this weekend.
God, that's awesome.
Oh, man.
Those are some awesome, awesome events, Madison. We'll be talking about those in our good stories of the day and reminding people of them today and tomorrow, okay?
That's awesome. Thank you.
And thank you, Madison. We appreciate you and your team over there and everything you put into our community. Keep up the great work. Safe travels out there, and we'll talk again next Thursday.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Madison.
Bye, Madison.
She's the best. We appreciate our good friend Madison Rafter, Executive Director of the Suffolk County Humane Society, joins us every Thursday with our Pet of the Week. Mm-hmm. Find out more and ways that you can either adopt these awesome dogs. God, I want them. I want to adopt them right now. Adopt them before I can. Save me from myself, everybody.
Yeah, save James from James.
Visit our friends over at the Suffolk County Humane Society at 3621 64th Street North in Wisconsin Rapids. A great way to contact them is on Facebook. Just type in your search bar Suffolk County Humane Society and like their page. Mm-hmm. You can also give them a call at 715-423-0505 or email them swchs@swchs.com. And all these furry animals and so much more you can find out about our Humane Society at their website, swchs.com, swchs.com. Talk about those events with your friends and family out there. Yeah. Spread the word about those events and encourage people to attend them and check them out. Mm-hmm. We'll be back with more fun right after this on The Morning Show at WFHR.
Please, please tell me now. Please, please tell me now. Please, please tell me now.
All right, Simon, I will. Man, the guy is so demanding.
Very insistent.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
You get hungry like a wolf with him one time.
Yeah.
You go traveling to Rio with the guy one time.
Now and he's like, will not tell me now.
Tell me now. Little Duran Duran to play Seth and I in. Hope you guys are having a great Friday Eve out there. Happy Thursday, everyone. Mm-hmm. Big thank you to Madison Rafter from the Suffolk County Humane Society joining us. Love talking with Madison and animals with her and our friends at the Humane Society. Find out ways that you can help them out and be a part of the great work that they are doing over there. Go into their website, swchs.com, and be sure to follow them on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Getting into some entertainment news, just a real quick note to everybody out there tonight on your small screen, CMT remembers Toby Keith. Mm. That'll be on at 7 on CMT, of course.
Yep.
Be sure to check that out. It seems pretty good. I'd like to be able to catch some of that.
Yeah.
And the 13th annual NFL Honors are on tonight at 8 o'clock on CBS. While I don't really care too much about some of the awards, what I do care about is finding out who is going to make the Football Hall of Fame.
That's a big one, yes.
And it's not the deepest list this year, if I'm being honest.
I was going to say, I don't think I've even heard of who is up for who is nominated.
And I'm going to do something here that I want to see if we can do here. I'm going to try something.
Okay.
I'm bringing something up to tease to talk about on Playmakers on Monday.
Oh.
All right, so we'll see if we can do that or not.
All right.
But I want your guys, who you think belong in the Hall of Fame that is not eligible or you don't think is going to make it. And I'm bringing this up selfishly because I believe that Devin Hester should be in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
Ray Guy for many, many years was unarguably the greatest punter anybody'd ever seen. Mm-hmm. And he couldn't get into the Hall of Fame, but eventually did. While punters don't traditionally get in, he's the GOAT. He was the greatest at it. Of course, you should put him in.
Yeah.
If you are the greatest at something, I don't care if you're a snapper, a long snapper. Mm-hmm. I think if you're the greatest long snapper of all time, put him into the Hall of Fame. What are we doing here?
Yes.
It's the Hall of Fame. Quit taking it so darn serious and everything. Nobody that watched Devin Hester can tell me that there was ever a greater returner of the ball than Devin Hester.
He
changed the game.
He did.
They got rid of the kickoff partially because of this guy.
Which is so sad. But you know what? And I actually, I'm with you 100% on this because there's another guy who should be in because mostly because of returning, which returners get no love at all.
None.
Eric Metcalf.
Hell yeah.
Eric Metcalf should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yes, yes, yes. Number 21 should be one of my favorite players growing up.
I'm not surprised by that at all.
I loved Eric Metcalf. I had a Metcalf jersey. A white Cleveland Browns Metcalf jersey that barely fit me.
Man,
Love that guy.
Yep.
I'm with you, too. Should be in the Hall of Fame. If you haven't seen Tracy Chapman's performance of her 1988 hit Fast Car with Luke Combs at the Grammys, go do yourself a favor and check that out. And you won't be alone. Lots of people are streaming it. Thanks to that performance, Tracy's streams went up 241% the next day. She had 9,499 streams compared to 278,000 the week prior.
Whoa.
Her digital song sales also went up 38,000% from a negligible 14. So it was at 13. It was at 14 and went up to 38.
Wow.
Luke's cover also got a lot of love. It rose 37% in streams to hit 1.6 million and up 3,900 in sales.
Yeah. I love this because Tracy Chapman's body of work not just that was her big hit, yes, but just her whole body of work. She's just a remarkable songwriter. She was very adventurous with her sounds. Yeah, yeah. She would use lots of genres in her records and everything. Yeah, I love the love she's getting right now. People want to know what a good artist she is.
I don't think I noticed enough when she was really in the mainstream and everything, mm-hmm. how original her voice is.
Oh yeah,
and I don't think I credited it enough. It's and good stuff. I was really able to do that not only with this recent performance, but going back and re-listening to some acoustic versions and some other versions of that song.
Yeah.
Disney made a surprise announcement yesterday. A sequel to 2016's Moana is on the way.
Oh.
It'll hit theaters November 27th, so it's really on the way.
Whoa. Yeah. This puppy's been working on it for a while.
Yeah, this puppy's already done. Now, they kept it under wraps, in part because Disney's had some, you know, unsuccessful ventures as of late, and I think that they kind of wanted to tease some things before going all in, and then they realized, wait a minute, we have to go forward with this, whether we want to scrap it or not. Moana 2 was originally meant to be a TV series, but it became a feature film because of CEO Bob Iger was impressed with the footage.
Oh.
It follows Moana, Maui, and a new cast of characters. When Moana receives a call from her ancestors, she must journey to the, quote, far seas of Oceania and into dangerous, long-lost waters. There's no official word on the cast, but it does look like some of the originals are back, like The Rock and Aluhi, who did Moana and Maui.
Mm-hmm.
But we do know that Lin-Manuel Miranda will not be writing the music this time.
Oh, that was
time.
My question, yeah.
Yeah. Moana 2 is not related to the live-action remake, which comes out June 27th of 2025.
Oh, wow.
Which The Rock is also a part of.
Because he actually can look like Maui. That's how big he is.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. The first movie was good, mm-hmm. but I think a lot of it had to do with the songs of Lin-Manuel Miranda. And that might take a hit because of that. This is fascinating to me because, as James, as you know, being in the industry, it takes, what, twice as long to do an animated film as to do a live-action film?
Yeah.
Because it just takes, of all the stuff you have to do to get ready and all the computer work you have to do and everything, it just takes a long time. So that's really interesting.
Yeah. You would think that they'd have been hyping this a long time ago.
Exactly.
That's interesting. At first, if I heard that, I would think, well, they must not believe in it too much. But then I hear the comments from Bob Iger, and I don't know if that's him trying to sell it more or if it's true. Either way, it is so much easier to release something, especially in today's day and age, on your streaming service. Disney's always had this. They had the Disney Channel for many years.
Absolutely.
If they didn't believe in a project, well, we just throw it on the network.
Yep.
You know, we still get our money. You know, we still get our viewing and all that.
Exactly.
They don't take this chance, especially Disney in 2024, where they have hemorrhaged money.
Yeah.
And they're not alone. There's very few.
Anyone who's in streaming right now, with maybe the exception of Amazon, but that's because Amazon has all the other business stuff they have.
Yeah. Amazon isn't doing well in streaming.
No.
Mind you. Their Prime subscriptions and all that have gone down and all those things. But to Seth's point, their body of their backup.
Yeah. They've got so much other stuff. Yeah.
And think about that. Amazon's backup is stronger than Disney's.
Yes.
Whoa.
That's pretty remarkable.
Whoa, that's pretty remarkable. That's pretty incredible.
Right,
so,
right.
Disney is they're nervous at Disney. They're more nervous than the guys at Netflix or Hulu at a lot of other places, in part because not only this is Disney's main money maker, but their reputation is so important to them.
Yes.
The Disney brand is so valuable and so important.
More than any other entertainment company,
absolutely,
I would say.
Absolutely. So every hit they take, while it may not seem like you're not sitting there at the breakfast table sitting there, wow, did you see Disney had another bomb? You don't care, maybe. They think everybody's talking about it. They think everybody.
And good point.
So they're very hesitant to release. If you notice, Seth and I have touched on this before on Director's Cut and some other shows. This year, only one Marvel movie being released.
That's it.
The Deadpool 3 movie.
Yep.
You're not going to see much Star Wars stuff. They just came out recently and said, we're pulling back on all of those, on the Star Wars and the Marvel stuff. We're pulling back. We're going to focus on the heavy hitters. We're going to focus on your Iron Mans, your big names and stuff. We're not going to quit saturating the market with all this material.
Yep.
They're doing the same thing with Star Wars. They are afraid of losing money. They are afraid of having failure. And you can't succeed that way.
No.
I don't care how smart you are. Bob Iger's one of the best that's ever been in this job.
Right, yeah.
There's a reason they brought him back.
Yep.
He did things that changed the game, whether it's streaming or entertainment or anything like that. But you can't play scared. I don't care what you're doing in life. You can't do it scared.
No. Although I have to say that Disney is better set up than, like, say, Netflix.
Yeah.
Then, you know, because they can weather it. They've got the parks. I mean, they have a couple of backups, too. Not as much as Amazon. But, man, that was the wrong thing to pivot to streaming.
Yeah.
And I still don't understand how they didn't see this coming.
I'm so with you on that. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's like there's only so much you can do. This is a limited space. You're spending this amount of money on things. That's why I just watched a thing. That's why Armor Wars was supposed to be a Disney Plus show. Guess what? It's a movie now.
Yeah.
Because it's too expensive.
Yeah.
They can't do it on a show anymore because they don't get it back. And that's why they have to go throw it in the movie theaters. That's why they have to throw it on physical media and that kind of stuff.
I don't know if this is really going to be exciting to a lot of people out there, but those of us that were really, really big fans of the Highlander series and movies, Henry Cavill has picked up the mantle and is going to be the new Highlander.
Wow.
And that may be breaking news to some people out there.
It is to me. I didn't know that.
They're hard at work at this and everything. And Henry Cavill, the only reason any of us know about it is because he's so excited about playing this role and jumping into it.
That's great.
And boy, we should probably thank DC and Tim, what's his name? Gunn. James Gunn.
James Gunn.
Sorry, James Gunn. Big fan of your work. Because letting him go has freed him up to do the Highlander thing and the Warhammer series, which a lot of people are excited about that. And I bring these up in part because, all right, so the Marvel thing, that's kind of dying, or a superhero thing isn't dying, but it's gone down. This other franchise has gone down, Star Trek, Star Wars, a lot of these things. Mm-hmm. So now you're going to see the Warhammers, the World of Warcraft kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You're going to see more attempts like this to try to make franchises.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And I think the success of the Dungeons & Dragons movie, Warhammer is also an RPG, a tabletop RPG, which is extremely popular in Europe.
Yes.
So, I mean, that's an interesting pivot, too, that they're trying these new things. And it's good. I think they need to because they did. The supermarket, as much as I love superhero stuff, it was saturated. It saturated the market, and they need to pull back like they're doing.
I'm curious to see because they've tried trends like this before, and some of them work, some of them different.
Yeah.
You try the board game thing, and they did the Battleship movie, which bombed horribly. No pun intended there. I'm curious. I have a working script. Granted, it needs to be fleshed out a little bit, but I think it's really good, and it's all about hungry hippos, and it's all based on the great classic.
What's the plot? So that's the problem. At least with like RPGs, you have story elements in the games. Other board games don't have story elements. They're just games.
In a world where hippos are hungry, one man can take care of them.
Oh, man.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
But he'd be perfect.
He would be.
That's why I want Don LaFontaine to be back. So he just can do that again for these movies.
In a world.
Yeah.
Who was your favorite Super Bowl halftime show of the last 8 years? This is a poll, or this is based on a new poll that came out. According to a new poll, the halftime show, Eminem, Dr. Dre, and Snoop Dogg, the halftime show for 2022 was the best one of the last 8 years, according to this poll.
Oh.
Although it only got 14% of the vote because some people weren't sure. People.
There's eight choices, and
you're not sure.
You're not sure. They're all equally as good. Okay.
I'll never understand.
Wow.
I'll never understand.
That's weird.
Who is answering these surveys? But looking at the last 8 years, here's how they ranked. Again, Eminem, Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, Kendrick Lamar, Mary J. Blige from 2022 was number one on the list. Rihanna was at number two at 2023.
Not last year, yeah.
Jennifer Lopez, Shakira, Bad Bunny. That one from 2020. Came in at number three. Lady Gaga came in at number four. She was in there 2017. From 2016, Coldplay, Beyonce, and Bruno Mars. I'd forgotten all about that.
I had to. Totally memory holding.
Wow.
Yeah.
The Weeknd from 2021 came in at number six.
Wow, I don't remember that either.
I remember it just because of a couple of interesting things about it, but not because of – and nothing against The Weeknd. I think
no.
I like The Weeknd. I got some of his music.
Great voice,
everything.
Yeah.
But I – It was more about him, like, he was way, way, way up at Tampa Bay, like, way at the top, and then all of a sudden he just showed up way at the bottom. And I thought that was kind of cool. Okay. But everything else was just a little bit too much, I thought. Maroon 5, Travis Scott, and Big Boy from 2019. That's one of the worst I've ever seen. Maroon 5 is one of the worst live things I've ever seen of anything. I'm not just talking music. Like, I don't understand it. I don't get the draw of Adam Levine. I don't understand like what people like about him and all the like, he looks like he walked into a tattoo shop and said, "Give me one of everything," and didn't care about like whatever you've invented.
Just draw on me. Yeah, I want it all. Yeah,
I don't get it. And at number eight, interestingly, Justin Timberlake and the Tennessee Kids from 2018. I would have thought that had been higher.
Yeah, interesting.
His star has faded quite a bit.
Shockingly quick.
Unlike a lot of other artists that we've talked about today and other times that grow or get better at what they do, I think part of the problem for him, and I'm not trying to be a jerk here, or nothing, is he's not really grown as an artist. Like, he's just kind of like not only stayed pat, but doesn't seem like he's worked at anything, whether it's acting or music. Like, he's tried to get better. Maybe he has and it just hasn't shown.
Yeah,
but it doesn't seem like, it feels like he's phoning it in, his career.
Oh my gosh.
It feels like he's kind of just like leaning out. Well, I'm good at this. I know I have an audience here, and so I'm going to do this.
Right.
That is the closest I have to any complaint about Taylor Swift. Is how has she changed as an artist? Mm-hmm. Now, I think with her, you can say, well, she started in country. She's grown into pop. Mm-hmm. She's evolved that way.
Right.
And I think for her, her career is more evolved behind the scenes in how she controls her career and taking control of it, which I give her as much credit for as I do the Beatles going from I Want to Hold Your Hand to Sgt. Pepper.
Right.
So don't take this as a shot to Taylor Swift by any means. I'm just using her as an example that I've heard other music critics talk about.
Yeah, yeah.
With him, and like some other artists on this list, there ain't nothing wrong with that. That's not a critique. It's just something that we notice.
It's interesting. Yeah, yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
Not everybody can. Hey, it worked for AC/DC. AC/DC went 40 years not changing anything.
Not a thing. And they were very successful. Yeah.
Do you have any of these on this list? Do you even watch the halftime show? Do you even watch Super Bowl, Matt? Do you get a chance to?
No, we do watch Super Bowl. I honestly, that's good though. I like that. I did catch a little of Rihanna last year, but that's the only one of these I remember. Hmm. I mean, the last one I actually remember seeing was like Prince, I think.
Yeah, right on.
And actually watching the whole thing and being interested in watching it, but. Here's a question forever. You know, and I don't know, I have no idea what the ratings are for the halftime show.
Yeah.
Are we just holding on to this because?
I think in part, but it's
tradition
also,
now. Is it a tradition that we do this?
I think it's some of that. I also think we talked about this last year. I think the NFL got beat by Celebrity Deathmatch by MTV. Eyeballs went from the network that had the Super Bowl that year to MTV, and it was like everybody could notice the ratings dip was just insane.
Yeah,
advertisers most importantly noticed.
The most important people to notice, right?
So how are you going to keep those dollars up, charging people $7 million a minute for an ad? You've got to give them something to stick around for at halftime. And that's where it all comes back to money, like Don Omar.
Of course it does, yes.
So I think you're right, and I don't think people care that much or anything like that, and I think we're holding on to it for reasons that don't have a lot to do with the game or entertaining people.
Of course.
I think that's part of the reason why you don't get the greatest of halftime shows.
It seems so inorganic. It seems so, you know, stagey. And yeah, I know. It's supposed to be a show, a spectacle. But maybe it's the spectacle that's getting... Maybe it's not the artist that they're using. It's the spectacle that people are like, getting a little bored of.
I don't think enough people are recognizing this. And it's great to bring this up in 2024 in an election year. But while I'm talking about entertainment, it applies to politics just as well.
Yeah.
When you pander, we can tell.
Mm-hmm.
We can tell.
It's obvious.
It's so dang obvious when you're pandering. Just knock it off. It's cringy. It doesn't work. Yeah. And it's whether we're talking about the Super Bowl halftime show or you trying to get votes.
Yep.
Like, be you. And you're going to go a lot farther than the pandering and stuff. And it's the same thing with the halftime show. Quit trying to please everybody. You're never going to be able
to
do
it. You're never going to be able to do it.
Focusing on certain genres, I think, is a fun way to do it.
Uh-huh.
Maybe with the Eminem, Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, Kendrick Lamar car thing, you didn't get a wider variety, but you took care of that audience.
Yeah.
So next year, maybe focus on country. Maybe yeah. next year you focus on pop, you know, these things, or classic rock or something like that. You know, change yep. it up every once in a while. Quit trying yep. to please everybody. You're never going to be able to do it.
It strikes me that Usher is an odd choice.
Yeah.
For that. It's not that he's a bad artist. Again, I'm not talking about that. It's just he doesn't seem as relevant, you know, as he once was, which would make sense before. You know, I don't know. And maybe it's because a lot of people don't want to do the halftime show anymore. It sounds like
That's
they're having trouble getting people to
That's
do it.
That's a big part of it. Well, and I if I've got this right, you pay the NFL.
Yeah, you don't get paid for it.
Ooh, yeah.
Sorry. That's not going to fly for a lot of people.
Well, if you're Beyonce or Lady Gaga and stuff, you've got a lot of money. As a musician, most musicians don't have that much. Like, they look like they got a lot
right.
of money. They don't have a lot of money.
Right.
So you're telling me, especially if I'm even a borderline, like, star, and I'm just, you know, no, man. I mean, I'm not paying you to be able to. Is it the biggest game in town? Are you going to have more eyeballs on you than you've ever had before?
Oh, of course, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You're so right.
But I don't know that the trade-off is worth it, especially when you yeah. consider most of the time all we do is bash these.
It's true.
It's very seldom. You and I... off the top of my, I'm guessing the mm-hmm. Prince halftime show, you enjoyed that.
That's like one of the few I have enjoyed, yes.
Same here. It's still my favorite.
Yeah.
And that was how long ago? Every other one was.
And I'm not like a huge Prince fan.
Yeah.
I just thought it was amazing. Yeah.
I love the Rihanna one, but I'm a big Rihanna fan. I like her a lot and everything. Yeah. Like, outside of that, I got nothing on these.
Yeah.
And honestly, Rihanna in 2023. Oh, yeah, she did that. It was a year ago. And it's hard to remember, to your point about, do we even remember who these acts
yeah,
are?
Yeah, 100%,
stuff.
Man.
I don't know if the ceiling is high enough. The basement is way too accessible.
Yeah,
so I don't know if it's worth doing or not. But as an artist, I could see doing it. We'll take a quick time out. When we come back, we've got good stuff coming up for you, everybody. We're going to get into the Madden game, predicted who is going to win the Super Bowl. We'll touch on that.
I always love that.
Got some crazy prop bets want to get into as well. We'll talk about that one all coming up on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. Seth and James here playing our air organ.
Yeah. Yep. James does this just so he can go crazy on the organ.
Yes, yeah. Something, it makes my mother happy. She always wanted me to learn to play piano. She saw my hands the day I was born. Is like, that's a piano player. Haven't played a piano once. Let's get into some we got the Super Bowl prop bets to get into.
All right, let's do it.
So now, for those that don't know, what a prop bet is basically something that you're projecting to have happen.
Right.
And trying to guess it beforehand. Some examples, some long-time examples. How long the national anthem length will be. The singing of the national mm-hmm. anthem is always a special moment at the Super Bowl. This year, the great Reba McEntire will handle the performance. And some sports books may offer odds on which will be quicker. How long it will take for her to belt out the Star-Spangled Banner. Or the length of the game's fastest scoring drive. So, some interesting
something
stuff
like that,
there.
Yeah.
Some other, like the coin toss is a big one. Usually, I've been to, I've seen a lot of Super Bowls over at Romano's, and a big shout out to Romano's over in Nacusa. Go ahead and enjoy some good times over there, and a good morning to all my friends over there at Romano's. Now, one of the things that big thing over there is before, like, it almost gets silent in the bar. Okay, who's everybody got for the coin toss? Like, and before anything even gets going, like during the pregame and stuff, that's already happening. So there's a lot of that, too.
Don't bet on that. It's literally a coin toss. don't do that.
It gets a little more in-depth and detailed when it comes down to, like, another famous one is the color of the Gatorade that'll be dumped on the winning coach. That's
that one's
a big
fun.
One.
I like that one.
And this is only, like, this stuff used to be talked about in hush or on the side.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't even really talk too much about it on the air. We wouldn't talk about gambling too much just for fear of, you know,
right.
saying the wrong thing mm-hmm. or getting too, you walk right up to the edge, but then talking about it too highly or something like that.
Right.
And all that has changed in 2 years. Like yep. now, it's one of the biggest parts of sports is talking about gambling
so
and angles of it.
So much.
I know people that have never gambled a day in their life that know odds of the games yes. and everything. Over-unders and stuff. Mm-hmm. People that never gambled that know what over and unders are.
Yeah.
Like it's not just weird. It's so weird how quickly we adapted to this. How quickly
so fast.
We accepted it.
Yeah, so fast.
And given the fact that not only is there billions and billions of dollars that is not only at stake here when it comes to gambling, mm-hmm. but that is put into these games, mm-hmm. all four of the major franchises, all yep. four of the biggest sports. And the one of the biggest things since you and I were kids is point shaving in basketball or some of these things, the fear of a team cheating to win.
Mm-hmm.
One of the earliest stories most of us hear in sports is Pete Rose. And yep. the telltale story of Pete Rose, the greatest hitter, Charlie Hustle.
Yep.
Or
even the Black Sox.
Yes.
And the Black Sox scandal,
and
yeah.
holding them up as an example yep. of how gambling is evil mm-hmm. and how you can't have this in sports. Wait a minute, what's that? Oh, we can make money off of that?
Billions of dollars?
We take it all back, everybody, except for Pete. You can't go in the Hall of Fame still.
Yeah.
we've even our government has changed how like we've adapted the marijuana laws
mm-hmm.
and we have seen in recent years that okay well some of those laws we're going to change we're taking this off your I was going to say your resume it's the worst.
Off your record? I don't
off
know.
Your record. Off your record
yeah,
is what
right.
I was trying to say. There.
Right.
So some of that is done. So even the government has done some of this.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like Pete Rose or some of these people they call gambling, like
yeah.
they haven't been okayed. They haven't.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they should or they shouldn't be, but
right.
I think it's a little silly that right now Major League Baseball is working out deals with DraftKings and some of these people on betting
yeah.
on games, legally having their announcers talk about overs and unders.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, arguably your greatest hitter of all, one of your greatest hitters of all time, unarguably,
right.
Can't go in famously because he gambled on the sport.
Yes. Although to be fair to the process, every time there's a new commissioner, he goes up to the commissioner's office and he cannot stop lying his head
yeah,
off.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the reason he's doing it. He will not admit that what happened.
Yeah.
He refuses to do it. And that's why they're not letting him in, because he won't tell the truth.
I think that's the greatest example that Pete Rose has to give
mm-hmm.
of, hey, you own things in life
yes.
and society. It goes so much farther than just, all we do, you're just Pinocchio to us.
Yeah, yeah.
We just see your nose getting
yeah.
bigger and bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Taking a look at some of these stranger, different prop bets,
okay.
like when it comes to Super Bowl commercial props, which is going to be the first commercial shown. Drumstick and Uber Eats are the top vote getters for the first commercial shown.
Okay.
Gets a little more interesting and possibly weird if you're Reba McEntire and you're going on DraftKings or BetMGM or any of these and you see, hey, what color is Reba McEntire's hat going to be?
Okay. What? So, assuming she's wearing a hat, I guess. Okay.
Most of the votes I'm seeing are going towards yellow. Most people are going towards yellow. Oh, no, wait a minute. Green got a lot of votes
green.
There. Green, yeah.
Well, there's
yeah.
no green on either of those uniforms, so she's not telegraphing anything
uh-huh.
there. So,
yeah. Red comes in as the most favorite option to be Reba's hat color, while green is the long shot.
Yeah, considering all the red that's going to be on the field, yeah.
Now, her being a redhead, does that change that?
Does that count?
I don't know.
Green goes good with red, so I can see that too, though, yeah.
The temperature at kickoff, a lot of people getting into that one. It being in Las Vegas, of course, is going to make it a little more interesting to people. I'm kind of curious about that. The first Vegas landmark shown, will it be I think it'll be the Spear. The
yeah,
spear.
Yeah.
They can't stop talking about the dang spear. That's all. If you're talking about Vegas, it comes up immediately.
I watched a Monday night game there, and I think every time they came back from break, they showed that stupid thing. Good grief.
I'm already tired of it.
Yeah, I know.
At first, it seemed kind of cool and kind of interesting. The outside of it, the advertising part of it, the idea of being in it and seeing it, everything I've heard, yeah, people, like, they get some nice views and everything, but it's very disorienting. The air in there isn't that great. It's a spear.
It's just a spear.
Yeah, what do you expect?
It's a spear.
The most likely options could be the spear, or the fabulous Las Vegas sign, or Bellagio, the fountains.
Right.
That's another one. The Mirage. I think is going to be there. The Eiffel Tower at Paris, that kind of stuff.
Right.
Some other big ones.
Man.
Let's see here. A couple other ones. I don't want to get in trouble here or anything, but if somebody will be caught with an escort, and that's famous mainly because of Eugene Robinson. That was like, we don't even remember half the time. People don't even remember who was in the Super Bowl that year.
No,
but him winning Man of the Year and then getting caught with an escort is possibly the most famous Super Bowl story ever.
It's very possible.
It will never go away. It never will.
Eugene Robinson.
It's something that you can't, like, if you wrote it in a script, you would get laughed out of the room. Like, there's nobody that would believe it, but it actually happened. Like, I don't know how you could be such a knucklehead, man. And will there be an octopus? Well, no, not an actual octopus. We're not talking about the 8-tentacled mollusk that will flop on the field or anything.
I do.
What we're talking about is an 8-point play scored by the same player. This occurs when a player scores a touchdown and then also scores on the subsequent 2-point conversion, thus an 8-point play, an octopus. Seth's look is just
that is a terrible name for that play. Just because it was 8, they came up with octopus. I have never heard that before, and they need to change it now. It's awful, man.
I've never wanted us to be on Facebook Live more than so you could see the look on Seth's face for that.
It's pure disdain is what it was.
I will take this opportunity to mention and tease to those listening out there that is coming, everybody, that we are going to be going on Facebook Live with show.
Yeah.
Very soon. I have a meeting next week with Wisconsin Rapids Community Media.
Yeah.
To talk about this more. We'll have more on that for you next week. But be on the lookout for that.
They need to handle the camera work. We don't know in radio. We don't know anything about cameras, man. We don't know anything.
It's going to be fun. It's something I'm so jacked to talk about, and I can't yet. I can't. We got to wait.
Reel it in. Reel it in.
The last prop bets we're looking at here is Jason Kelce going to be shirtless? Yes. Yes. Yes, that's easy money. That's easy money.
He was shirtless in Buffalo.
Yeah, I mean,
they're in Vegas. Yeah, he's going to be shirtless.
Not only is he going to be, he already is. Like, I guarantee you, whatever he's doing right now, Jason Kelce
is shirtless.
He hasn't
worn a shirt in a week.
Yeah, and enjoying life. That man enjoys life. He is living.
Man, especially if he's actually retired now, man.
Yeah. And will any 49ers or Chiefs players, will the quarterback throw a non-quarterback throw a touchdown? That's another big one, I think, another big prop bet that's out there.
I love that play.
Kind of wanted to wrap up on one that that is a little bit feasible, because I got to think that Travis Kelce is going to at least attempt one. After the play that they had in the playoff round that was nulled, I think that's almost a trick play, almost a guarantee. Debo Samuel, I think, throws a pretty good ball, too. Christian McCaffrey throws a pretty good ball. So
it's one of my favorite plays in sports. I love that.
And famously, Philly did it a while
back.
Yeah,
that's right, yeah.
And wrapping up the segment with a little more Super Bowl talk here.
Okay.
And, of course, my computer just then decided to close the page that I was just about to read. That's hilarious. I couldn't have done that if I was trying
to.
No. there was one last thing I wanted. Oh, yeah, the Madden prediction.
Oh, always fun.
The Madden NFL video game made its annual Super Bowl prediction based on simulation, and they say the Chiefs will beat the 49ers 30-28, and Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes would be MVP. It's worth mentioning, Madden has been wrong the last 3 years.
Oh, okay.
So they'll, including last year when they didn't pick the Chiefs, and the Chiefs won.
Yes.
So they'll make it. Will they make it a fourth or break the streak? We'll find out this Sunday.
That's
on the
Super Bowl.
That's
an awfully close score. And by the way, this is a no-brainer. If the Chiefs win, it's only going to be because the MVP is Patrick Mahomes.
You're right. Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah. I'll say that defense has been very impressive.
It's been
but
good.
But you're right. Yeah.
He's going to win it for him if they win. Yeah.
I'm more curious about if San Francisco wins, who the MVP will be. Because they've got such a great team with such great stars. But boy, they share the ball so much.
Here you go. I'm going to make a bold prediction right now.
Mm.
If the 49ers win the game, it's going to be for one reason, and that means that Christian McCaffrey is the MVP.
Ah, I like it. I like it. Nice take. Nice. Mm. I like that. Good one.
So
I'm going to go with Deebo Samuel as the MVP of 49ers win, just because it's something to throw. I wanted to say Deebo.
I just want to say Deebo. It's a fun word to say. It's a great word. Woo, Deebo.
We will take a timeout. We'll come back, and we got a laundry tip for you. We got Danny Wright's story. Good stories of the day all coming up. Just throw out there a laundry tip. On the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James here with you. Little Temptations to play us in.
Playing air drums on this one.
Mm-hmm. Taking it right to the top of the hour. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We'll get you ready for the weekend tomorrow. Terry John's going to be sitting in with us. We'll have some fun. Looking forward to it with our star of the day. Be sure to call up for that and win yourself some free Culvers and plenty more going on. We got a laundry tip real quick for you.
Okay.
Washing machines have all sorts of settings like hand wash, eco, and heavy duty. New ones might even have specific cycles for jeans and baby clothes.
Oh, wow.
But there's a guy that says you don't really need all those options. Just always use the express cycle.
Okay.
Noah Mickelson hosts the HGTV show The Laundry Guy, and he says it's the only setting he ever uses.
The Laundry Guy is a TV show?
Come on now. What are we doing? What are we doing here?
What are we doing?
It's just him folding laundry.
Yeah, all day long.
For 25 minutes. It's just simple.
It's very relaxing, though. I mean, it's a very relaxing show. To be fair. Yeah.
It's, quote, it's long enough to get your clothes clean, but it's short enough not to cause any damage. Longer cycles like heavy duty can cause more wear and tear on fabrics, so you end up needing to replace your clothes quicker.
Yeah, makes sense.
Why do all these other settings even exist? He says they used to be useful, but detergent, fabrics, and washing machines have gotten better now, so we don't really need all those settings.
Yeah, that makes sense.
They only exist because we're creatures of habit.
It's true.
If you've always done your laundry on the heavy-duty setting, you're probably going to always use that setting.
Right. And think about this. Okay, you may not need all those settings, but think you're going in to buy a new washing machine, and it's only got like two settings on it. Are you going to buy that?
No,
I mean, that's
good,
the question.
Good question. That is,
you know,
good,
it's
question.
Like, wait, I'm not going to get this. This doesn't have all these settings. Even if you're not going to use them all.
Hey, where's all the bells and whistles?
Yeah, exactly.
Even if they are literally just bells and whistles on a washing machine that you would never use, you still want those bells and whistles. That's a good point, man.
Just because, like, maybe it's because, what do you say? You get used to those things, of having all those settings. Well, maybe I'll want to use it someday. You never know.
Let's get to this one here. We got to get some good stories of the day in.
Okay.
We got a bunch of local things we want to touch on, including our Midday Magazine. Be sure to join us from 3 to 4 today. Got a really good show lined up for you. We are wrapping up our mayoral candidate interviews.
Yes.
We have Matt Zacher joining us today. Looking forward to getting to know Matt, having him join us on the air. We will spend the same amount of time we did with our other candidates with Matt, and encourage you to check that out. And a big thank you to all the candidates for joining us.
Yes, that's wonderful.
We are looking to have a interview that Melissa did in the second part of that.
Yep.
We were hoping to hear from Preston Seitz, and we never did hear from him.
Yep.
We did, I did a little bit. Pam reached out like crazy to his camp and tried like heck to get him on the air with us.
Yep.
It is very important to us here at WFHR, where for over 80 years we have given every candidate equal amount of time and given them air time.
The opportunity to do that, yep.
If a candidate doesn't join us on the air, I put my name on this. I put everything I am on this. It is because they chose or were not able to join us.
Exactly.
So I want that very clear,
to
anybody out there. We are looking forward to part two. Laura Huber joining us, 4-H program educator with UW-Madison Extension. Love talking to Laura. It's going to be a really fun one.
Good stuff.
Also looking ahead here, on your radio dial tonight, great. It's a ball night, everybody.
Ooh.
It's a ball night. Milwaukee Bucks basketball, they're hosting Minnesota. Minnesota, I think they're in first place or second place in the West.
There's like four teams tied at the top of the West right now. It's crazy.
And I get it. Football season takes, you know, a lot of eyeballs. If you're just starting to pay attention to basketball, Minnesota's really good this year.
They are very, which was a shocker to me. I'm nominally, I'm a Timberwolves fan, but they just haven't done anything. But now this year, I'm like, whoa, hey, cool. They're not doing bad. They got some fun players, too.
I am personally not worried about the Bucks because I'm seeing improvement on the defensive side of the ball. Even the standings are showing that. Not the standings necessarily in wins and losses, but the standings defensively. I believe in Doc Rivers, and I think they're going to be all right.
Yep.
Here's a great way to get right, winning a game against one of the top teams in the West.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You can catch
Except I don't want them to.
Right on. That game tonight, 6:30. Our pregame will kick off for that. More Bucks basketball on Friday. Got them hosting Charlotte. That game will be at 6:30. And keep in mind, we got River Kings hockey. It's our last home games of the season.
Yes, that's right. In the regular season.
In the regular season. Mm-hmm. Head over and check out the River Kings as we take on the Outlaws this weekend. Friday and Saturday games. Our pregame kicks off at 6:59 for both of those. Yep. Mark and Seth doing a great job with them.
If hopefully, you know, all the technical issues we had last week are all taken care of. I want to put that out there. But this is it, guys. This is it for the regular season. If you haven't gone, let's fill the place, man. Let's get as many people there as we can this weekend.
Show them what home ice advantage is. Fill out the Southdale County Rec Center. And keep in mind, our River Kings have a fundraiser going on. We want to keep the Kings. We want to keep the Kings in a good place.
Yep.
Help us with this fundraiser to give them the facilities they need.
100%, man.
Seth, we got some other great things going on here in town.
We do. Coming up in just a few short days, Saturday the 17th, of course, the 10th anniversary of the Southwood County Empty Bowls. This is such a cool thing.
Yeah.
Because someone's bowl is always empty. Help them raise funds for organizations in the community that provide direct food relief to our neighbors. It's from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., hosted by our good friends over at Focus, 2321 West Grand Avenue. We have a whole bunch of great local restaurants contributing soup. What you do is you go in for a $10 donation. You get a simple meal of soup, bread, beverage, and a cookie. You get a handmade bowl that you get to keep. I mean, this is one of the cooler things we do every year. I can't believe it's been 10 years. It's just really so cool.
Yeah.
And you get some great soup as well. So please, everyone, check this out on Saturday, February 17th, starts at 11 a.m. at Focus.
Join our friends, Robert and Mary. Join the Robert and Mary Wakely's Winter Feast going on Saturday, February 17th at the Nakusa Community Center at 416 Crestview Lane in Nakusa. The meal will consist of donated wild game and domestic meats. Help our friends at the Historic Point Posse keep history alive.
Yeah.
You can find out more at historicpointboss.com. Be sure to check that out. Be sure to check out Uptown. They are in town tonight. It is the night. It is going to be here finally. We're looking forward to this. These guys are great. Check out some great Motown, some great good vibes, some good. Give them a good show, everybody. Let's fill up the pack and take in Uptown.
Motown moves. Motown dancing.
Oh, it's so much fun. Check them out at the savorthearts.com. You can get your tickets and find out more at savorthearts.com. And be sure to pick up these tickets by calling up 715-424-2600. Woo! You can call up right now and get yourself a pair of tickets to go see Uptown for free.
Man.
Yeah, go check them out and support the arts, everybody. Yep. Find out more at savorthearts.com, savorthearts.com. And want to remind everybody, we want your love stories.
Love stories.
Get them to us, everybody. We want to spread the love and get some more love out there. We encourage you to do that. Share us with us your love stories. Just type on our search in your search bar on WFHR on Facebook, WFHR, and go ahead and leave a comment with those love stories if you can. Or you can direct message us on Facebook or email us. However you got to do it, get us your love stories. And on Valentine's Day, we're going to draw a winner. And that winner is going to get a two-night stay at the Hotel Mean, some cool stuff from our friends at Family Natural Foods, and One Rose Greenhouse. A big shout out to those businesses. Yep. Buy local, support local.
I have one programming note for this Saturday because I won't be here tomorrow. Over the Back Fence will not be on. We're going to be preempted by the Badger game on Saturday afternoon. So no Over the Back Fence on Saturday.
Let's go ahead, and as we're wrapping up here, let's see if we can take a call. Good morning. Let's see here. Good morning. You're on the air. You calling up for the tickets?
Yes, I am.
Excellent. Right. Excellent. Woo! You just won yourself two tickets to go see Uptown tonight. Can you give us a favorite? Do you have a favorite Motown song or anything off the top of your head? Do you think of Motown? It's a tough one, man. It's a tough one.
Boy, I can't think of right now. I know back in the day we used to listen to them.
Sure.
I've heard any of their music lately.
You hang on the line, sir, and you're going to have a bunch of Motown in your future.
You're going to have plenty of it there.
Thanks so much for listening and playing along. Hang on the line. We'll get some information from you, and we'll talk to you later.
Standard answer, the last one I heard. That's my favorite Motown song.
It's always a good one. You're All I Need to Get By.
Excellent song, yes.
Excellent show, Seth. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. It was fun.
Be good to each other. Have a great one out there, and we'll talk to you soon and later right here at Oh, You Take It, Cat.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM, and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.